It is so good to be together. I encourage you to watch this service again later because you'll catch some connections that were not planned in the words of the song that Colton led and in some of the words of Becky's worship leading. So thanks be to God. It's good to be together worshiping today, and I am eager to share with you out of the overflow of good news that God has given me to share with you today. I know that some of us are going through some very difficult things these days, and so let's begin with depending on God in prayer. God of gentleness and hope and strength and love, we depend on you. Help me to proclaim Jesus that we might know you. Help us to rest in your peace today and be sent people. Thank you for offering us peace and hope today. May your word accomplish all that you desire for it and achieve the purpose for which you sent it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is our dog, Maggie. Maggie is a great dog. Some of the time, maybe most of the time. She loves walks and tennis balls and running in our backyard. But you should know, some of you already know, you should know at the beginning of this sermon that Maggie has some quirks. She has a lot of quirks. One of her quirks, she's a rescue dog. We got her from a shelter. And we can tell by some of her behaviors that she's had some hard times in her life. She's been through some things. And so one of her quirks is that loud noises really bother her. So things like firecrackers and loud trucks driving by really aggravate her. So hold this image of Maggie in mind. This is Maggie on a good day, and we're going to come back to that. The other thing you should know from the beginning, if you're newer here or if you're joining online for the first time, Zion loves to celebrate milestones in our faith journey. We begin by joining with parents in recognizing baby dedications when parents are ready to dedicate their baby to God. So imagine that's all the way against this wall, the baby dedications. We join with parents in that. And then we celebrate when children go to kindergarten and sixth grade, when they start a new school. We celebrate those faith milestones. And pretty soon we'll be recognizing those who have just gotten their driver's license, or will be soon. And then before that, we'll be honoring Evan and Noelle for graduating as seniors from high school. So we love these celebrations. There's laughter, sometimes there's tears, oftentimes there's something spontaneous that happens or something unexpected. And so we love these celebrations. It reminds me, well, let me say first, the culmination of all of these celebrations is baptism. This is the high point. We love to celebrate baptism, when somebody chooses to follow Jesus. This is a big deal. And it reminds me of Sadie's baptism recently. We're driving out there to Highland for Sadie's baptism in the river, and it is storming. Just imagine, imagine the worst storm, and it's pouring buckets, and I'm driving out there thinking, I know this is a baptism, God, but how is this going to work? We're all going to be drenched. How is this service going to work? And so we're gathering together as leaders before the service, like we always do, to pray. And the families joined us to pray for Sadie in the service. And it's still raining. And we're praying. And I remember feeling the warmth of the sun on my face while we're praying. And sure enough, I open my eyes. And the storm has passed. The storm that should not have passed, according to the radar. The storm passed, the rain cleared, we were able to hold the baptism with people gathered together on the banks of the river standing in the mud, and it was a beautiful service. So we love these services. We love recognizing they gather us together in relationship. They deepen our faith as we experience God's provision literally through the storm. They bind us together as a community. And yet, they aren't quite enough. Here's what I mean. Since we celebrate these moments of the faith journey in the lives of our dear children and teenagers, they can give the wrong impression that faith begins growing when we're young and ends when we are baptized. But see, if baptism were a conclusion, a checking off of the box, then that would mean that all this time in the middle ground, if baptism is here, all this time in the middle ground until our death, let's put that at the wall, or maybe let's even put that like on the other side of the building against the embankment, or when God's kingdom comes, all this time in the middle then is waiting. How well do we do with waiting? We get distracted, we get impatient. This middle stage is the stage where you eat the green tomato, thinking this is as good as it gets. Zion, I'm here to tell us this stage that we're in right now, what you're experiencing right now, is not as good as it gets. God has so much more in store for us. And so much more to do through us. I remember 15 or so years ago, we had a women's retreat at Zion. Actually, it was held, I think, in Winchester. And we went up there for the weekend, many of us women here, and just gathered together. And the first night, we had a choice whether or not we wanted to go to a Bible study or whether or not we wanted to socialize. I chose the socializing. And we laughed so much. It was so much fun. We had a great time. Well, as the Bible study finished, we gathered together, the two of our groups together. We had some snacks. And I remember connecting with Brenda Fairweather. She had gone to the Bible study. And so I asked her how it was. We're just connecting. And her face, I kid you not, her face was like what I imagine Moses' face to be like when he's coming down from Mount Sinai. She's glowing, glowing. And I realized I missed out. I chose poorly. There is more to God than what I'd realized before. So baptism is not the end of our faith journey, but the beginning. And it turns out that God has so much goodness to offer us and do through us, even in this middle season. Well, that takes us to Bethlehem and to the prophet Micah, through whom God promised to give an ancient baby out of little but fruitful Bethlehem. When I preached this passage a few weeks ago, I shared the big and small ways of God's faithfulness fulfilled through these promises made through Micah. And I said that God's faithfulness is not determined by our faithfulness. What our faithfulness can impact is the faith of other people, like what Brenda did for me. And we talked about watering our faith and not the weeds. And we talked about how the unbelief is like the potato peels stuck in my garbage disposal. Unbelief backs everything up and makes a mess. And you have since shared with me many of your garbage disposal mishap stories and how I really should be composting the potato peels in my garbage disposal, which I would do if my composter were not broken. But that's another analogy for another day. What's exciting about this passage is that there is even more good news for us today. I want us to look at verse 5 of our passage. This is a verse for you to write down and carry with you as I've been doing this week. And it doesn't look like hope at first glance, so let's explore this together. Verse 5 says, did it sleep? There we go. Verse 5 says, and he will be our peace. When the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. So let's back up a second. You may have heard the word lectionary before. The lectionary is a three-year cycle of scriptures that are used for each Sunday and for each special day of the year. And oftentimes when we aren't in a specific season, such as Advent or Lent or a specific sermon series, then we use the lectionary to guide our selection of scripture for a given Sunday. And when we do, we're joining in with Christians around the world who are studying the same passage of Scripture. It's wonderful. I'm glad to keep using the lectionary. It's valuable. Here's the problem. In the same way that we miss recognizing that faith grows through first jobs, through loss of loved ones or health, through retirement, the lectionary misses covering all of Scripture. Now, when it comes to the 9 chapters of genealogies in 1 Chronicles, I think we can understand why those didn't make the cut. But when it comes to our passage today from Micah 5, what gets cut out makes the text misleading. So let's look at this. The words in green, can you forward the slide for me, Neil? Jackson. There we go. The words in green are what the lectionary includes. And he, meaning Jesus, the promised baby, will be our peace. Well, that's great news. We take comfort in that. And yet it kind of sounds like it's saying that one day when we get to heaven or when God's kingdom comes, one day there will be peace. A peace that we'll experience in the new heaven and the new earth. Peace with God, peace in relationships, peace in creation. That's amazing. We want that. That's wonderful. God has promised us a kingdom of peace. Except that isn't the end of the sentence. The part in white is the rest of the sentence. So let's look at this. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. Now, some of you are thinking this sounds like a bad thing that Assyrians are marching through our land and trampling down our fortresses. But how many of us are facing challenges in our lives? All of us. Or if we're not, we just have, or we're about to. This is life. A detail with good news for us today is that scholars say that the Assyrians here are symbolic of all the enemies of God's people in every age. So for all time, when God's people are feeling beaten up, Jesus is our peace. In the middle of the battle, not just at the end of our earthly journey. So that means that any place where you feel like the underdog, or that you're losing ground, or another person has control over your life, any place in the world where there is violence or suffering or oppression, Jesus is somehow our peace now, in the middle. Somehow Jesus offers us peace even when bad things happen around us and everything looks like a bleak winter day. Yes, we want peace later. It sounds beautiful. We look forward to it. We expect it. But don't we also want peace now? In our relationships, we want peace. In our minds, in our wars. And Jesus is saying, I am available to you in the middle of what you're facing. And we have missed out. So how do we know this means now? Well, because when God's kingdom fully comes, peace will be everywhere. And since it's easy to see that peace is not yet everywhere, and this passage says Jesus is our peace when the enemy comes knocking, and that means Jesus' peace is here for us now. As Mennonites, we believe that Jesus came to bring peace and justice through nonviolent means. We understand that we are called to share the gospel of peace. And that means doing so in ways that are deeply loving. What we are missing is that Jesus' peace is available right now, not just when we die and not just when God's kingdom is fully established. Does that change things? If Jesus' peace is available for us now, what does that mean for the relationship that you're in that looks hopeless? Or think about it bigger. Think about poverty or racism. Since Jesus is our peace, that means that those signs of evil are not from God, They are being overcome by God's power and love. And God chooses to use peacemakers like Harriet Tubman and Michael Sharp and any person here who chooses to be a peacemaker. Think about it personally for yourself, for that situation that has you up in knots and your mind spinning. God invites us to a better way. We are called to be ambassadors of God's kingdom of peace. That's Matthew 5 and 2 Corinthians 5. And here's what this looks like when we live that Jesus is our peace in the battle now. It means we love people whose lives are different from ours. It means that old joke that when the devil comes knocking at your door, we send Jesus to answer with faith that Jesus is abundantly enough. When Jesus is our peace now, it means that for the relationships we have that are on thin ice, we trust that Jesus is reconciling, and we join and persevere in that work. So let's close with a story about my dog, Maggie. Because we have solar panels on our house, when snow melts off our roof, it comes crashing down in this thunderous, heart-racing noise. I see some of you nodding your heads, you know what I mean. Who remembers whether or not Maggie likes loud noises? Yeah. Well, this week when Maggie heard the crashing sounds, she got very afraid. She started shaking. She wanted to hide under the bed. She was focused on a sound that she couldn't make sense of and that she couldn't stop. Now, our family does what we can to love her and to train her. And yet, at the end of the day, it's her choice whether or not she is going to trust us. Maggie's choice this week was to freeze. Here she was stressed out. It's a little bit hard to see. But if our kids aren't around, Maggie often chooses to lay on the soft blanket beside me. And this day, she chose to lay on the small, uncomfortable armrest, focused on the sound that she was trying to tune out. I don't want us to miss out on the peace that Jesus has for us. Let's choose wisely and discover together that there is more to God. Staying passively in the middle ground, waiting for the battle to end, is not as good as it gets. I hope that some of us choose to carry Micah 5:5 with us this week and experience comfort that Jesus is our peace now. And I hope that some others of us choose to be a loving peacemaker this week, with feet ready by the gospel of peace, and using the shield of faith as we share that Jesus is our peace. This is our call, beloved. Thanks be to God. Amen.